1-850-715-815. Liam, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you?
Only a matter of time, we were saying on the programme yesterday, before deer lampers claim a human injury or, worse than that, maybe even a fatality.
Yep, I endorse everything that Liam Nolan said yesterday on that. And I've been saying it for the last couple of years, that with the huge increase in deer hunters at the moment and using heavy caliber rifles, and the increase in lamping and poaching that there has been, particularly in the Wicklow area, it is only a matter of time that there's going to be a serious accident. And I'm saying this because when it does happen, the powers that be will just clamp down on the legal hunters.
Because they can't go after, they don't know how to go after the illegal guys.
Because exactly, because it's too difficult. And that's why I'm saying it and I'm warning it at the moment. It is going to happen. Liam Nolan alluded to yesterday the various accidents that happen. We've more than anecdotal evidence of a lot of them. Bullets being stuck in doors, you know, from wild shots out in the country. I saw one hunter showed me a photograph of a bullet stuck in a Velox window in a bungalow in a remote area, which they concluded was done by people lamping deer at night time.
How isolated are those kind of incidents?
They're not isolated at all. It's happening all the time. Every year I get calls from various people, you know, but you usually get the calls when it's too late, you know, months after things have happened. People don't report enough of them.
Johnny, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very good.
You're ex-army, so you've experienced the consequences of scene shootings.
Yeah, you know, a 22 rifle can carry up to 2 miles.
Indeed, even after it's gone through a deer, it can continue to go on.
Well, no, if it goes through a deer, it will slow down quite an amount, but no one knows what's at the end of a bullet.
Or where indeed it's going to end up.
Or where it's going. Because, you see, it's so powerful. You lose sight of it once it passes the deer. You won't, you know what I mean? Literally, you can't see it. But once it's gone beyond the deer, you don't know what damage it's going to do.
And when you were in the army, did you ever see anybody getting shot?
I did. I happened to see a man in Cyprus getting shot by a dum-dum from 800 yards.
A dum-dum bullet being the ones that split up once they enter
the
body.
That's right, with the cross on it. And it penetrates like a biro and it can come out the back like the size of a side plate or a saucer.
Liam, would anybody be using dum-dums in the hunting business?
No, they wouldn't be using dum-dums, but they would be using soft-nosed bullets that do expand on contact. And when they expand on contact, they stay. The proper hunting bullets are designed so that they expand slightly on contact to make the most damage as they go through, but they stay intact. And it diffuses a lot of the strength in it.
Are they then less likely to carry on through the body of the animal?
In a lot of cases they will carry on. In a lot of cases they will stop on the, you know, at the skin on the other side of the animal. But I suppose about 5 out of 10 will go through.
What kind of money is to be made in poaching, Liam?
Well, it's hard to know. We don't have exact figures, but when you hear of guys getting paid, you know, 3,000 and 4,000 for the number of deer that they've shot over a short period, bearing in mind that the season is from September to the end of February, so you're talking about a six month period, and some of these guys are shooting maybe 30, 40 animals a week, and so in some cases a lot more.
How easy is it for them to get them into the food chain?
No problem at all, because most of these guys already have hunting licenses from an area. If they have an area on which they can shoot and get legal permission, On the strength of that, they get a deer hunting license from the National Parks and Wildlife Service. So,
but it's not legal to be out at night with lamps.
It's not legal to be shooting on other people's ground that they haven't got permission on. But in order to catch them, it's very, very, very difficult. The Gardaí are doing what they can. The wildlife rangers are doing what they can. But there's an awful lot more needed.
How much easier is it to shoot a deer or to bring down a deer at night when you're using the lamps to startle them?
It's very easy. Very easy.
Much easier than in daylight, is it?
Much easier than in daylight, yes. Much easier. That's why an awful lot of these guys, even though they have legal permissions in a lot of places, they won't bother shooting in the legal times because it's too easy at night time to go around with a lamp and mesmerise the deer, take a nice rested shot from the vehicle and take them a headshot or between the eyes. And this is where the mistakes are made sometimes. Now, bearing in mind that it is illegal to shoot from a public road or within a certain distance of a public road, it's also illegal to use a car or even to rest on a car when shooting. But
why would it be illegal to rest on a car? Surely anything that makes your shot more accurate.
Okay, you would think, yes, you're not supposed to be using a vehicle in any way, shape or form for the hunting.
Okay, so anyway, if you're saying...
That's under the Wildlife Act, you know.
If you're saying 3,000 or 4,000 euros for 30, 40 animals, there's up to 100 euro a carcass, basically.
Up to 100 euros a carcass or thereabouts. Well, sometimes a little bit more, but up to 100 euros of a carcass, yeah.
And a good night's shooting would be what? Oh, how many?
I've heard of guys shooting up to 15 in a night.
Well remunerated work if you can get it, but hard work
exactly,
as well.
Yeah. Well, what they do is they go around, one of the modus operandi is to go around at night time shooting, from the road as they go along. They mark the spots and they don't bother collecting the deer so that if the Gardaí set up roadblocks as they do, particularly in the Wicklow area and the wildlife rangers, the guys have nothing. They have all the equipment in the car, but they don't have any evidence of having shot anything. And then they come around the next day in saloon cars as if they were tourists in the area and just pick up the animals into the boot of the car and away.
Well, when you hear about the situation that somebody like Colm is living in his estate and their inability to get the Gardaí around through lack of Garda resources to deal with a very, very serious and very present and immediate danger, you can imagine how low a priority the Gardaí are forced to give to something like this.
I accept that, and we all recognise that. And in fairness, the guards do as well. And in fact, when they are doing routine, travelling routinely around the remote areas in Wicklow, in recent years, we find that the Gardaí are much more conscious of poaching than they were in previous years. And they do keep an eye out and they do stop people. But they can only prosecute if they've got evidence that a crime has been committed. In other words, if they see somebody firing from the road or whatever, that's an offence. Or if somebody reports them on their ground that they don't have permission on, well, that's probably the most common prosecution is, on ground that they don't have. In other words, it was...
Well, they're trespassing, essentially.
It's our armed trespass under the Wildlife Act. Yeah. And that is an easy one to get them on.
All right, Liam, Johnny, thank you both very much. We'll take another quick break. Amanda, good afternoon.
Hi, Philip, how are you?
You had a horse shot by deer lampers.
I did. I said I'd just ring in and highlight the issue, seeing that they're talking about it. It happened 4 years ago now, in early in the year. She survived it in the end, but I fed her at night time on a Friday evening, and on Saturday morning I went back and I saw her staggering up the field to me, and when she turned around, she had a huge hole in the side of her face, so I had no idea.
Sorry, she had a hole in her head?
A hole that you could see into her mouth. You could see her tongue from the outside, in her cheek.
Okay, so far enough away from her brain that she was able to survive it, obviously.
Yes, maybe in hindsight, during the the operations that pursued, she might have preferred if they had got her out right. But she's still here now, and she's in good form. Mm-hmm. I suppose the point I'm making is that she was grazing in a field by the roadside, and nobody had permission to be shooting there at that time. There was no lamping license on the ground, and okay, they saw a set of eyes and thought they were shooting a deer, but they didn't. They shot a horse. There could have been something else behind her, or the proposed deer that they were hoping to shoot. Like, it just, the whole thing is extremely reckless. Like, it's.
And was the bullet lodged in her head?
Yes. She subsequently went to a UCD veterinary clinic, and at that stage we still didn't really know what had happened to her. And they x-rayed her and came back and said, you won't believe what we found. We can see the cartridge is stuck between her, in her sinuses. Yep.
Good,
so it had gone
Lord.
right through. It had blown a hole about the size of my fist in her cheek, and it had smashed through her teeth and up through the palate of her mouth and lodged in the sinuses. It had done a lot of damage to her skull now. But
and there was no doubt in the vets' minds that these were hunters.
No, this was a specific cartridge from a high caliber deer.
A shell, yeah. Were the vets' bills expensive?
We won't go there because, yes, they were. I'd have bought a very nice horse for what it cost, but how I felt about her at the time was she was my responsibility. It's very hard when you're farming land to be able to police it all, but it was on our own land, and I felt sort of a guilt or a responsibility towards the animal to make do. What
were you ever able to ride her again?
Yes, she's okay. She still has a paralysis of her lower lip. She went through, I think, she'd four different operations. Her biggest problem was that when they cleared away all the broken fractions of bone and stuff, she was missing two molar teeth at the back of her mouth. So when she ate grass, it went up through that hole and down through her nose. But over time, that has healed up.
But the lips are very, very important as well, because
they sort
through different types of grass. They don't just eat everything that they come across. Was she able to learn how to eat again properly?
She did. It took a long time now, Philip has said. It's 4.5 years, I suppose, and it's probably only in the last year and a half that she's really come back. She took a lot of TLC, but she was a great patient.
Oh.
And, I mean, the work that they did in UCD was phenomenal too for her. But I suppose I'm going back to the illegal
they
shooting.
Shouldn't have been there. They were shooting at night. No. They were probably shooting from the road. And it's a horse today, or a horse 4 years ago in your case. When is it going to end up being a human casualty?
Well, who knows what was behind that? Maybe there was a house or a dwelling house behind that. If it didn't hit the horse, where was it going to go?
Indeed, a good point. Well made, Amanda. And I'm afraid it's the last point that we can make on the programme today, because we are out of time. Thanks for your call. Pat O'Carney was in sound. Laura Lee Davis is our BCO. And Emma Laffin produced Alistair McConnell on research. Thank you all for listening. Back at the same time to